title of my message to you this morning is the title of the song we just sang, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Continuing in the small series that we're doing this summer on the elements of worship, I direct your attention to Psalm 7 and Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2. From the Word of God, Psalm 7, verse 17. I will thank the Lord because He is just. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, Most High. And in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 48, Mary responded, Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He took notice of His lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Holy One, for the Mighty One is holy, and He has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to those who fear Him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped His servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For He made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. And in chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize Him by this sign. You will find the babe wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And from verse 25, At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and He is the glory of your people Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. In 1761, the Methodists produced a hymnal. And in the introduction to that hymnal under the title Directions for Singing, John Wesley gave us seven directions for singing. With apologies for not sharing them all, here are bits and pieces from four of those instructions. Sing lustily and with a good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice with strength. Sing modestly. Do not bawl so as to be heard above or distinct from the rest of the congregation, that you may not destroy the harmony. But strive to unite your voices together so as to make one clear, melodious sound. Above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word you sing. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature. So shall your singing be such as the Lord will approve here and reward you when He cometh in the clouds of heaven. St. Augustine said, "Whoever sings prays twice." And no one knows that better than Luke as he begins his gospel. Strike up the band. Here comes Mary and the angel chorus and Simeon too. These folks are ready when the Spirit moves to belt their hearts out. It's almost as if they sang from the modern standard, "Start spreading the news." They practically shout out, "Take note, something new is happening here." So if the gospel story, the story of the good news, strikes up a tune, why am I sometimes so hesitant to sing? Certainly I don't have the best voice. On occasion I will sing a cappella with our daughter Amy, who is a veritable songbird. And somewhere in almost every song, Amy will say to me, "Dad, you change keys." Well, I usually reply not knowing I've done so and not knowing which key I was in and which key I'm now in. Yes, but it's a good key. Our mom was a singer. She sang every hymn in every service. But if you stood right beside her and put your ear on her lips, you would not hear a word. You would not hear a sound that she sang. And one Sunday morning back home at Locklin Evangelical United Brethren Church, Kathy asked her about that. And she said, "I'm singing to Jesus. No one else needs to hear." Take that, John Wesley. But her lips were moving and music was pouring out, a love offering for her Savior. And Luke holds up the microphone for folks like my mom who sing out in their lives. The psalmist praises and Mary echoes, "How my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He took notice of His lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Mary sings what we call the Magnificat, a new song to a child yet unseen, to a child yet unborn, yet to change the world. But in the meantime, she sings on. A young couple was expecting their first baby. And when they got the good news that there was a little one coming to live at their house, the father began every night as they got ready to go to bed, his wife and he, to pick up his guitar and sing "Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace." And he would sing every night as he rested his head on the growing tummy of his wife. He played through the summer, he played into the fall, he played into the Advent season. And when her contractions began, he had the sense of mind to take the guitar with him to the delivery room. And after delivery, their child cried immediately, as would be expected. However, they were a little distraught when he continued to cry. And the father picked up the guitar. Mom had tried to comfort him, but there was no comfort from her beautiful voice. The crying continued. And he began to strum the chords and sing, silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. And the newborn baby settled into life in the world. Now, a little bit different story. I read of a woman who died of cancer. She was too young to die. She left two teenage children, a vibrant career, and a strong marriage. She was faithful to her church, dedicated to her community. It was a tremendous loss for everyone. And one of her surviving relatives was angry at God, enraged at God. And she ran it. If that were me, taken up prematurely to heaven and made to leave all those who make love real, I would have a little talk with God. I'd walk into those pearly gates and tell God, there's no way, Lord, I'm singing in that angel choir. I just don't have any hallelujahs in me right now. And hallelujah is the alternate title for my message. Well, her rant rings true for all of us who've known tragedy. Sometimes we just don't have any hallelujahs in us. Our souls just can't muster up that bit of praise and prayer. It's not that we don't care for the music. It's that we don't care for the circumstances and situations of our lives at that very moment. There are dark clouds of despair, loneliness, frustration, and anger that sound so loud within our souls that we can't hear the notes of anything else. You want me to sing? I don't have it in me. Lord, I don't have it in me. There is discord in my life and in my world. No hallelujahs here. Someone else will have to sing them for now. And even when there doesn't seem to be a hallelujah left in us, there's something about that word that sings with power when we're weak and helpless. The word hallelujah literally means praise Yahweh. That strange name that we don't use often is the name, the personal name by which God revealed Himself to Moses at the burning bush. It literally translates, I am that I am. And out of honor and respect, the Jews would only spell it with four Hebrew letters, YHWH. And we've added the vowels to call it Yahweh. Let us praise Yahweh. Let us praise the Lord. Let us praise the I Am. Even when we can't imagine singing hallelujah in an angel chorus, in God's angel chorus, something within us still primitively and privately utters this language of the soul. No one knew this better than David, the sweet singer of Israel, a composer of psalms and poems. His life was discordant. The rape of Bathsheba, the abuse of power, the disconnect with his sons, yet he knew the grace of God. It was with the acknowledgement of all this that he, though baffled at times and buffeted by life, still sang out, hallelujah! His hallelujah wasn't the arrival of pure faith or dismissal of the pain. His hallelujah was a yearning and entreaty in itself. He knew there would be a day when there would be a whole and flawless hallelujah. But for now, there was just his baffled voice. One more story. In certain African tribes, before a child is born into this world, a group of elders from the community remove themselves from the noise of the tribe and go off by themselves to listen for the song of the unborn child. And after spending a time listening, when they're confident they have this special song, they come back into the community. And when birthing begins, they go where the mother is and where the child is being born, and they sing this special song. They sing Him into the world. And from that point on, at pivotal points and important points in the life of the growing child, the community sings that special song that was written just for him or for her on the first day of school, entering adulthood, or joining in marriage. That unique song is sung. It's sung on special occasions, and if there is an occasion when the child or the adult commits a crime or an aberrant social act, the community sings that song. Outrage and disappointment are unleashed through singing. Remembrance of a created identity is claimed in song. The lost are found in singing. There's no better song about the lost being found than in Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I read in one modern hymnal where they took out the word wretch because it was too nasty and too lawful and pointed such a dark picture, and changed it to simply sinner. No, leave it like John Newton wrote it. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. There's something about worship and music and song that guides us through the mazes of life and into a whole new realm of foundation of how we live. We're often found standing dumbfounded amidst the tangled mazes of our lives, but we're determined that we lose that and discover that God has found us all along. Sometimes when I'm singing in worship, I find that we're halfway through the song and I have no idea what the words are truly saying. I keep singing, I attempt to keep singing, while at the same time backtracking through the words to discover their meaning. Singing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead me. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. I find my wandering spirit being drawn back in. Singing, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. I find that the general church, not a single congregation, but a general church, sometimes forget what it's all about. While we might not have one song revealed to us for our life through travel community, we do have a spiritual soundtrack that helps us find our way home. Week after week, we sing the hymns of our faith. We sing to remember. We sing to be found. We sing with joy because we have been found. We sing to forget ourselves and to find ourselves again in the center of God. Our lives find meaning in these songs of faith. We sing each week wrapped in the arms of our Father. Father God, singing with joy and thanksgiving, singing with lament and tears. In sad times of our lives, we sing. In the sweet times, we sing. When we're lost, we sing to be found. And when we're found, we sing to be lost in the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 And now go forth from this house singing. Singing the praises of the Lord. Singing when you feel it. Singing when you don't feel it. And may His grace and His glory and His blessing and His presence rest forever in your hearts. Amen.